Where the Earth moves several times, it is highly likely that it will move again. The southern Oregon coast has seen many earthquakes through time. The geologic record makes that very clear. The Cascadia subduction zone, where two plates of the Earth meet, will release energy once again. The scientists are very clear on that. And the information they have to work with is even clearer now. A project to map the quake-prone southern Oregon coast is paying dividends, with maps offering information the old maps just didn't have. The new maps are part of a recent report. Jason McLowry at Dogami, the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries in Oregon, is a geologist himself and one of the principal authors of the report. Jason, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
So what started the process of acquiring new maps?
Well, we have a advisory committee that directs our geologic mapping, and a project along the southwest part of Oregon along the coast was suggested several years ago, so we went forth in procuring funding and began a project to map that area.
And when was the last time the maps were updated, and what kinds of technology were available at that time?
Well, the last maps that were produced to the area, there was a large emphasis in mapping there in the 1950s and 1960s and even into the mid-70s, but since then, really nothing new has been produced in the area, and typically were done by old-style methods, basic topographic maps, where the resolution was very low.
So what are the kinds of information that you really are able to bring out in the new maps, and what are the kinds of technology that produced it?
Well, the types of information that we're looking for are based on resources, and those could be mineral resources or water resources, and then we're also interested in hazards like landslides or identifying potential fault zones. And the way that we do it today, we actually have a newer technology that's called LIDAR, and that's where we scan the Earth's surface with a laser and basically come up with a high-resolution topography that reveals things that we could not see in the past.
So all those little bumps and raises here and there, those show up a lot better on LIDAR than how was it done before? Was it just by dead reckoning and pictures?
Well, before, we basically had elevations, but they were only good to 40 or 60 feet. And now with LIDAR, we can actually, if you wanted to, you could map individual trees or individual rock outcrops or road cuts along the road down to scales of several meters. So it's the resolution is startling.
That's a whole lot of detail then. I mean, the most recent maps, apparently from Port Orford to Bandon. So are you working your way north from the California border?
Yeah, we started in 2006 with a project near Brookings at the California border, and our ultimate goal is to work up into Coos Bay. And so now we've worked to Bandon, and this year we'll work in the Bandon and Coquille area and tie into some previous mapping that was done at Coos Bay.
Are there some real standout findings here, Jason McLowry? I mean, things that people didn't expect to see or just couldn't really make out in a real stark sense from the older maps?
Yes, I think one of the emphases in here was using the LIDAR was to actually go in and look at the distribution of landslide deposits, particularly because it's an area over the last decade that has had some population growth, and along Highway 101, that's a major transportation corridor. So we're interested in looking at landslides. The older maps showed a few, maybe a dozen, just a handful. The newer maps between Port Orford and Bandon, we've recognized over 1,400 landslide deposits. So that's fairly significant.
1,400 versus how many in the old?
Probably a dozen that were recognized and mapped.
Really? So, I mean, but when you talk about 1,400 different slides, I mean, these can be from fairly small to fairly large, I would think.
Yeah, they range from probably a half acre in size up to those that will cover a couple square miles, which is important to the highway department because they generally fix the road right along the highway, and sometimes it's important to know that the landslide starts a couple miles above them.
Where would be some of the ones that are the big ones like that?
Well, along the Sixes River near Port Orford, there's some very large landslides in there. South of Port Orford, where we mapped last year around Humbug Mountain and into Carpenterville, which is closer to Brookings, there are some major landslides in there that frequently move the highway.
So when we talk about the Cascadia subduction zone, this is a collision zone, places where plates of the Earth meet, right?
Yes.
And where's the actual seam, as it were? Is it right on land, right under the coast, offshore a bit?
Offshore.
Mm-hmm. And so these are the things, obviously, that people aren't that aware of. When you talk about the features, though, that are within this mapping zone, like the landslides, are these things that people could drive by every day and not be aware that they're there?
Yes, they easily could, because they weren't mapped for years, and it's only with LIDAR, basically, we can now see through the dense vegetation on the coast and recognize many of these features.
So it's not a case where you're seeing what looks like a place where rocks fell recently. I mean, this is something that could be covered up by vegetation right up to forest, I would think.
Yeah, some of the landslides are old and inactive, and then there are landslides that are active, and you would recognize those, especially along Highway 101, where you see large areas of the highway that are tearing apart and are frequently repaired. Those are areas where you have active landslides in motion.
All right, I'm aware of some of those along 101,
yeah,
where every so often you
right.
see the pavement kind of buckling and thinking, okay, this is about time for a fix here, but that's something that just really never stops moving completely, it sounds like.
Right. There are ones, many of the large landslides along there that move in fits and starts, so depending on the seasons and dynamics going on within the landslides, they're often active.
Jason McLowry is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is with the Oregon Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, one of our favorite acronyms, DOGAMI, where he is a geologist and one of the authors of a recent report, including these maps that cover parts of the coast from Port Orford to Bandon. You can join us on the Exchange if you have some questions or comments. 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email, jx@jeffnet.org. When we talk about places, though, that could potentially be affected by landslides, I sense that there's not a whole lot of choice here, though, Jason. It's not like we really have a chance to, you know, say, hey, let's put 101 5 miles inland or something, because that would be a massive project.
Well, that's right. The old highway in many of the areas went around the landslides and was an actually very windy highway, but there's going to be structural issues with the highway no matter where you put it.
Because there are so many slides around?
Because there's so many slides. Mm-hmm. You know, in this area, like I said, there was 1,400, and then in the area between Port Orford and south towards Brookings, where we mapped last year, we recognized another 2,000 in that area. So they're just a common occurrence both in the climate of the coast and the type of rocks that we have that generally want to fail down slope.
Jason, you mentioned getting this project started several years ago. You also talked about having to obtain funding for it. Where does the funding come from?
Our funding comes from the National Cooperative Geologic Mapping Program through the U.S. Geological Survey. And basically the reason for that is for the national program is to create a geologic framework for the United States. And so we do that by doing detailed mapping at the state level that contributes to the federal map.
And I noticed that there's a part of this process, too. You mentioned the LIDAR already, which is the laser-based, it's like a radar, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. But there's also something called zircon dating involved in here. What's that about?
Well, the way that we use that is one of the traditional methods to date some of the rocks along the coast is basically by the fossils that they contain, the old animals, and we compare those to what we think their ages are, but that has some imprecision to it. So we have a new data set that we collect little tiny microscopic grains from sandstones, and then we analyze them for their radioactive components, and that can give us an age of the sandstone. And the other thing that it gives us is we can also compare it to the areas that the sandstones were sourced from, so we can tell where these blocks of rock along the coast originated from and how fast they've moved into place here along the Oregon coast.
Overall, the geology of the South Oregon coast sounds fairly volatile, like you have things thrown in there from lots of different places.
Well, it's some of the most complex in the world, and being thrown in there from all different places is a good analogy. We call the rocks terrains, so they're basically far-traveled pieces of rock, and the zircons, the microscopic crystals we've collected from it now, are suggesting that some of the pieces originated as far south as Baja California and have been moved to the north.
Been moved to the north how?
Along major fault zones like the San Andreas fault zone is today along Western California. Some of these major fault zones have moved these pieces a significant distance, over 600 kilometers, in probably about 50 to 60 million years.
I was going to say, it's not the kind of thing that happens overnight. I was wondering how many millions of years.
No, it doesn't happen overnight, and the rates of movement are probably, geologically speaking, fairly rapid, up to 90 millimeters per year. That doesn't sound much, but in the long term, that allows large land masses to move along major faults through a process of plate tectonics.
Jason, we talked to somebody else at Dogami not very long ago about the SLIDO program, which also uses LIDAR. Is it essentially the very same technology, just used in a different place?
It is the same technology. And basically, the landslides that we map using the LIDAR are incorporated into the statewide landslide database, or SLIDO.
And have you been aboard any of the flights where the LIDAR is actually performed?
Nope, I have not.
Really? Have you ever wanted to? I mean, is it just not possible to be up there?
Well, we contract with a company that does that, and so that's not part of what I do for my job. I'm sure it would be fun, but I have not done that.
Is there any human intervention, or do you just take what LIDAR gives you and just plot it onto a map?
Well, there's a detailed processing methods that our department has developed to get the LIDAR that's usable for making geologic maps. It's an extensive computer process to analyze the data and prepare it for geologic mapping.
And then what's the end goal here? I mean, you have great information, but now what do you do with this information since it's in your hands?
Well, the end goal is to provide good data for the users that we've identified. Like I mentioned, the highway department will find this useful to actually have a detailed map of where their landslides actually are. One of the other issues along the coast is rock resource to use for roads and jetty stone. Our maps show the locations of rocks that might be good for that. We also have mapped a lot of young deposits that apparently are cut by faults. So now we know the more accurate distribution of fault lines in the area, and actually can begin to do real earthquake studies in the future on what the potential seismicity is along some of those fault zones.
Are there any kind of preventive steps that could be done if, for example, you show ODOT there's a slide that comes up to the highway, although it does not include the highway? I mean, could they put up retaining walls, drive piles, do something to stabilize that mass?
Well, that would be up to whatever their engineering standards are, but actually knowing where the landslides are and where they're originating and how they move will inform them on what engineering practices to use along the highway.
Let's take a call here. We have Grumpy John and Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jason McLowery from Dogami.
Thanks. Apropos of the movement of our coast, I believe there are pine trees off of Point Reyes that match up to the pine trees in San Diego, and I will get out of here. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for that. You're not really dealing with trees so much as rocks, so is that something that was included in your knowledge?
No, it's not included in the report, not something I'm familiar with.
All right. But so the idea of the rocks that we share with Baja California is not necessarily something that translates to living things either.
Well, the process that we're talking about of putting together Southwest Oregon is a process that was probably completed by about 45 million years ago, so it's a long-lived process and extended far back beyond that. So not sure about the trees.
All right. Jason McLowery, people can actually buy this report and all the maps online, can't they?
Yes, that's right, at OregonGeology.org, our department website.
Okay. And how much does it cost?
$30.
All right. I have to believe that some of the people are going to look at these maps and go, whoops, that's where my house is. And I see a landslide I never knew existed, either underneath the house or directly behind it uphill. What are the kinds of things that people might consider doing if they get this information?
Well, I think the most important part is actually getting the information and becoming educated on the geology in your area, whether you live on a landslide that might be a potential hazard to your home structure, or you're interested in drilling a well either for your domestic application or for a business. It gives you the information that you need to make wise choices and decisions.
Are the maps available in any detail online?
Not yet, but the maps will eventually be compiled into our statewide geologic database, which is being engineered to be an online database at the moment. And then people will be able to look through these and find where their house is and essentially create their own geologic maps.
All right. This is stuff that obviously could be cautionary tales to people who live and work on the Oregon coast, but it sounds like really exciting stuff for geologists like yourself.
Yeah, that's right. It's, like I said, it's some of the most complex geology in the world, and as you're working through it down the road, you just never know what you're going to run into. So it is very interesting.
Is the funding in place for the next segment to work north from Bandon to Coos Bay?
Yes, we have that funding in place from the USGS, and have already begun that work this summer. That'll continue into next June, and we'll be beginning the process to apply for funding to work up into the Coos Bay next year.
All right, and so people can get some details about this at OregonGeology.org, that's right?
That's correct.
All right, Jason McLowry is with DOGAMI, the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries in Oregon. He's a geologist himself and one of the authors of the report, including these new maps running from Port Orford to Bandon, which show much greater detail of the southern Oregon coast. Jason, thank you for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you very much.